It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Monday, 5:01 here on Fan Run Radio. We start with today's Top 5 at 5. Tucker Harlan, hit it.
Thank you, Russell. At number one, some Tennessee football recruit information. 2025 four-star wide receiver Radarius Jackson from Memphis has committed to Tennessee.
Hot four-star action.
The film looks good.
Chooses Tennessee over Auburn, Ole Miss, Mississippi State.
Yeah, Oregon was in the mix too, but...
Heupel loves this guy. Like, they identified
him...
Pope's
pretty high on him as well.
...early on as a guy that they were going to go... And they're in on a ton of elite wide receiver prospects, three of whom are in state. You got Cam Sparks down at Baylor, this kid, and Joakim Dotson, who's already committed. Like, they could be in the position of having to tell a good wide receiver prospect, sorry, ain't got room for you. So a very big pickup today for Josh Heupel and company.
At number two, Christian Moore has been named SEC Player of the Week, and this just did National Player of the Week by both D1 Baseball and Perfect Game for his performance at Kentucky.
He deserved it.
He was 9-15 at the plate for the weekend, hit a home run in his first at-bat in Saturday's game, and he hit three home runs in yesterday's rubber match win against the Wildcats.
Beautiful!
So on the Saturday and Sunday games, he went 8-11. Stupid.
What'd that one announcer say? He's had a good time in Lexington this weekend.
My favorite was,
oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Not again.
Yep, that one's gone.
Why do they keep throwing him waist-high pitches? It's just in his natural wheelhouse.
And then the one with tears, too, where they're like, fair? Yeah, it's fair.
It's gone. It's gone.
Simo does have a pretty swing.
Oh, it's Yeah, it's
thing of beauty. So does Burke, man.
I mean, I love it when Burke gets a hold of one. Just that left
from down
swing.
when he comes all the way downstairs.
He doesn't even really follow through on his swing, and it ends up 400 feet.
Take a walk.
We need to get Bargo off his deal. He can pound it too.
At number three, Lane Kiffin, after losing starter Quinshon Judkins via the transfer portal to Ohio State, has added yet another option to the running backs room with Miami Hurricanes running back Henry Parrish Jr. Parrish started his career at Ole Miss, rushing for more than 800 yards and 5 touchdowns over the course of 2 seasons. After transferring to Miami, Parrish ran for more than 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns over these last 2 seasons with Hurricanes.
So weird.
Coming home, huh?
I suppose.
Is there anybody we'd take back that's left?
In the football portal?
Any portal. Well, I'll tell you who I'd take back to get his attitude straight. Really help us this year. Chase Burns.
Yeah. But now you're talking about guys that aren't even in the portal, just guys that left that we want back.
Yeah, I would take Chase Burns back with some reservations.
I'd have taken DJ Burns back last month.
Yeah.
He's great.
You wouldn't have traded Adu for Burns about halfway through that Purdue game?
But Adu was sick. I mean, yeah, in that
regard. Was he sick against Texas?
No. Well, he's not very good. But better.
I know he's hit the port and all that. I'm having a hard time because I'm fighting the urge because I can't believe that you haven't remembered it. Adu was picked click at one point for me. Originally.
I mean, you guys, listen, the past couple, I've been the biggest Adu defender out there.
I'm going to miss the
big
man.
I would have rather had DJ Burns for our run in March because he was good and Adu wasn't.
he had a better tournament.
I don't think you had to be
sure.
John Wooden to.
He also couldn't stay on the court with Edie. I mean, how many minutes did he get in that game?
I can't even remember. How did Burns do against Edie?
He picked up like 2 fouls in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
So, in other words, no worse than our guys?
No, I mean, the kid from UConn who's arguably going to be, I mean, he may be the number one pick in the draft. And how many did Edie drop on him? 39?
Yeah. 37. It's right up there.
Shout out 37 Club.
At number four, MLB scoreboard for you. One game has gone final today. The Oakland A's defeated the New York Yankees in Yankee Stadium 2-0. Aaron Boone ejected for nothing, really.
Yeah, a fan right behind him was mouthing. That referee thought it was him. We're getting hosed by the umps this year. Why don't you shut up?
All right, additionally, you've got the Brewers playing the Pirates in Pittsburgh. You got the Phillies playing the Reds in Cincinnati. You've got the Diamondbacks playing the Cardinals in St. Louis. And the Marlins play the Braves at Truist Field. That is at 7:20.
I'm going to be right here on Fan Run Radio. Who are you guys playing?
The Diamondbacks.
Let's go Backs.
Oh, we got swept by the Brewers. It was a terrible weekend for us.
You guys are not very good this year, are you?
We were not good last year, Bear. I don't really think we're going to get a whole lot better this year either.
I remember you were a once proud franchise.
I did see that the Braves had a rather impressive series win this weekend over a particular team in Texas.
Braves went 5-6 last week against the last two World Series champions.
Have you ever, 5-1, excuse me. What was that pitcher's name? Joaquin Andujar. You ever heard that name?
Yeah.
You ever seen his meltdown in the postseason?
I don't think I have.
He's
too young for it.
He got shelled and then had an all-time meltdown in the dugout. Busting light bulbs.
And finally, at number five, a woman was banned from using any Uber services for her unusual first name. Swastika Chandra explained her first name meant good luck in Sanskrit.
It does.
And where she grew up in Fiji, it was a common name, but Uber suddenly banned her account in October last year due to it being
swastika.
A quote. Yeah. But, you know, they may pronounce it different over there.
Well, it was a Hindu symbol of good luck.
Exactly.
Jack boots from Germany hijacked it in the 1930s.
And that's exactly Krauts, what she said here.
The Krauts appropriated it and turned it into
cultural
one of the most reviled symbols in all of world history.
Is it time to bring the swastika back?
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
I got in trouble in fourth grade
for drawing one.
Yeah, good start.
I didn't know what it was. I just remembered seeing it from
you drew a swastika.
No, yeah,
did you see it?
Indiana Jones. No, I was a big Indiana Jones fan, and I was like, I was drawing like a sailboat, and I was like, these sails, I'll do this.
I know you were young, but didn't you pick up on the fact that most of the bad guys are wearing that?
It was a bad guy boat, but I didn't know how bad. And then I got
really bad.
I got talked to, and my friend Elise, she said, "Hey, you really shouldn't be drawing that." I was like, "Oh, I just saw it in a movie." She's like, "Yeah, but," and then next thing I know, I had to erase it.
A group of some people take it the wrong way.
Nah, I get it now, but at the time I was just like, it's a bad guy boat. I saw these bad guys in a movie.
It's frowned upon.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know at the time. Now I know.
Then you wouldn't draw the swastika. Just exercise.
No.
It's good. There's a guy, there's a soccer player, a baseball player, I can't remember, his name is Osama bin Laden. And he's born after, like, his dad named him that.
I think I saw this because he has a brother named Saddam Hussein,
that's
right?
That's right. I couldn't remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In, like, Peru or somewhere?
Yes.
Is dad insane? Why would you do that to your child? They call him Adolf Hitler?
Name Adolf kind of died off after the 1940s.
Well, there was one that coached at Kentucky.
But he had already been born.
That's
christened
true.
Adolf. That must have been.
He was a little.
That must have been rough.
He was a little bit further to the right than Hitler.
You think Adolf Rupp was more authoritarian than?
I don't know if he's more authoritarian. He was every bit the racist and xenophobe. Pretty well documented.
You think Adolf Rupp was every bit as racist as Adolf? I'm no history buff, but I did.
How many millions of people did Adolf Rupp kill?
He invented he's a cheater. He's from Kentucky. I hate him. He stinks.
That's fine, and it's good. It's fine and good, but
I'm just saying.
I don't
wherever
know.
He is right now. Got $100 in my pocket. Says it's really warm.
Well, I was going to say you referring to an umpire as a referee was your low point of the top five at five, but
every bit
you outdo yourself, my friend.
As racist.
When
as
did I call
Hitler.
An umpire a referee?
When thing. We were doing the Yankees and A's score update.
What'd I say?
Yeah, the referee didn't.
Damn, I said it right the first time. The umpire screwed us. What you going with your top five at five there, Junior?
Well, it's I can't over. Because it's over. A little top five at five.
Watch your tone, Tucker. Watch your tone.
Every bit. As racist. As Hitler.
Oh, man.
You're saying Adolf Rupp wasn't a nice guy.
I'm not disagreeing.
Again, they had to invent the NCAA to deal with that guy.
We invented it.
Of scumbag cheaters up there.
There were other inventions.
I was so invented
an atomic bomb to do it.
That's, yeah, that's part of it.
I was
part of getting to
bellowing
Hitler.
And dancing around my house when we beat them yesterday.
Bellowing and dancing.
Yeah. After Russell's buddy called in and had that phone call on Friday.
Oh. Yeah. Wait, Rick?
No.
Who?
TJ.
Yeah.
What'd he say?
He was actually pretty good. He just wanted us to get
teddy
bears.
That classic thing, like he starts off his call with a charity thing, so we really can't rip
classic
him.
Classic thing.
Well, I'm telling you, man, the guy's
you know, here. Imploring people to donate to children's services.
Yeah.
That jerk.
Because he thinks it makes it harder for me to flush him or to rip him, and it really doesn't.
Well, he does know that Bear is not a fan of gratitude or people being nice.
No, it kind of softens the landing strip, though, when he does finally drop the bomb.
Which he did.
Mm-hmm.
What'd he say?
I can't remember. So inane.
Jonas Adehu.
Yeah, he did call him Jonas Adehu.
He did call him Adehu.
We had a caller earlier. It was at the game yesterday. He was saying that Kentucky fans, how did Diablo put it, were convinced that they were getting Adu as if they're winning some big prize. And again, I've been a big Adu defender against what I feel like is a lot of unjust, unfair criticism against him. But is Adu, would that be a big get for Mark Pope in Kentucky?
We were saying it last week. I think if those fans discovered the same weakness we did, where he's just not going to be able to compete against just really solid big men, they're going to turn on him.
It'd be a good matchup between him and Okpara.
Have you all seen a close-up picture of Okpara?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen his like headshot and stuff on ESPN.
But the one picture I saw, he looks like he could be Toby Iwaka's brother.
Well, physical-wise, I mean, he's an Adu clone. They're both 6'11", 240.
I think they've been lying about Adu being 240 because this kid looks a lot thicker than Adu.
I'll have to go back and watch the film.
I need to go look at the film.
I thought Adu looked like he's probably closer to 210.
No.
220.
No. Adu? He's skinny in the legs. I don't know, man. I hope we're not in a situation where we are missing Jonas Adu next year.
I have some news that might upset
you guys. Shock and amaze? Upset?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if it's desk worthy. Probably not.
If it's going to upset us, it's desk worthy.
Okay, sure.
All right. Let's go to the Fan Run breaking news desk. Tucker Harlan, what do you got?
Ohio State running back transfer Dallin Hayden has committed to Colorado.
What are you laughing about?
That's not the reaction you were going for.
What are you laughing about?
It's funny.
I'm heartbroken.
Why?
Someone had been wanting that kid to come here since he was.
Yeah, but you knew he wasn't coming.
He was a sophomore. They did say it wasn't. That was something else we found. Was that on the show during the end of the week? It wasn't an NIL deal with him. It was minutes, like He wanted to step in. He wanted to be the feature back.
Yeah, that doesn't.
Good luck to him.
I knew he wasn't coming here. Like, it would have bummed me out if he was going to Florida or Alabama or something like that.
Oh, that's what I was bracing for. I don't know about you, but like, as he's
As soon as he sat down, Hayden, I thought he was going to say, yeah.
But Colorado, like, that doesn't matter to me.
But it's Deion. No. Do you really want to see him with Deion?
I feel bad for him, honestly, because they're going to go 4-8 again.
I want to see the young man live up to his potential and have a good career.
No, I do too.
That five-star corner hit the portal out there. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Colorado.
Yeah, I've seen Memphis, and I think both USF and UCF are after him, supposedly.
What?
I know, it's weird. That's kind of an odd offer list.
What?
Because it isn't a Deion thing, the reason he came in, apparently didn't go to class.
Ah.
Oh, okay.
Didn't study his playbook. Wasn't given 100% at practice and trying to learn his craft and put
that's
in the work.
That's not prime.
Oh, by the way, another minor note out there that we have not covered. Jason Jenkins, Tennessee defensive lineman, looks like he's headed to the portal. And he was a guy that didn't play much here. You'll recall he was a late addition a couple of years ago out of New Jersey, I believe. A nice frame prospect. I think he's like 6'6", 240 or something. And he'd drawn every now and then they talk about him during spring practice. Oh, this guy's like develop into something nice. But I don't think he's somebody that they were depending on or is viewed as a huge loss. But
I wonder if they had a hard time putting weight on him. That's usually what it seems like with those project guys.
I don't think we processed him. I think he's going to the portal because he wants to play. And gotten the message pretty loud and clear that playing time is going to be hard to come by here.
Pretty well stacked on that front.
That being said, a lot of seniors on that defensive front, and you wonder, and it's so hard to convince these kids to play the long game now. And oh no, you're in our plans for 2025, and they're like, they want to play now. Say, look, there are 9 senior defensive linemen, whatever it is, there's going to be plenty of opportunities for you to play. He's going to try his luck elsewhere.
Bah.
So, 865.
288.
288. 3131.
Attaboy.
Your number to get on board, 288-3131, if you want to chime in.
Bah.
Stay with us. The drive continues. More of your phone calls coming up. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Russell, Bear, Houston, and Tucker at your service. Overtime, getting set to head your way from 6 until 8 on many of these Fan Run affiliates. And maybe when do Braves take the field today?
7:20.
7:20, so an abbreviated overtime this evening here on Fan Run Radio.
Overtime boys sat in with us on Thursday.
Outstanding.
Jace and Bill.
I always love seeing the youngins get a chance to step into the
Oh, they were starstruck, the weren't they? He's getting to sit in Russell's chair.
Yeah. They looked pretty comfy in it, I got to tell you.
What are you doing right now, Harlan?
What you always do to me?
You're getting too comfy all of a sudden. A little too familiar over there. Don't you know your role? Hey, brought you into this world, I can take you out.
He's the guy who shows up. Who are you?
Hey! It was sick. I wasn't going to rat you.
I saw no evidence of sickness.
You didn't want to see the evidence.
No, you didn't.
You didn't want to. It was not pretty. It was a wet and wild, my friend.
No, I was having fun kind of accusing you of faking, and then Saturday morning when you got to the event, I could tell, like, this man has been through a rough couple of days.
I knew when it got to Friday, and then I felt bad even –
I felt bad because I felt like I guess I did miss the golf tournament. I made an appearance, but I felt really bad about not participating at all.
Well, I felt bad that all of us felt bad that you missed out on it because we had so much fun.
No, man, it was great. I could tell everybody was having a great time, but yeah, man.
What the hell are you going to do?
I ain't been emptied out like that in a while. Like I could not keep food down either. Usually when I have one, because – when the worst of it is happening,
When did you texted us
Wednesday night after the show. When the worst of it is going on, I'm thinking, okay, 24-hour stomach.
It's gonna
suck, but I'm just, and then like I just couldn't eat. Like,
when'd
really
you text
until
us Friday?
Yesterday or so, when I finally started, I still haven't like eaten. I haven't gone for like a greasy burger or anything. It's
no
been
succulent
like,
meal.
Let's, you know, a piece of grilled chicken here.
Yeah.
Bowl of dry cereal there. Just kind of easing back into this thing. Cause
yeah, when you texted us.
It's not pretty.
I ate a handful of dry Cheerios.
Yeah,
I texted them. I was like, he ain't coming in.
I was like, that's such a sad text to have to send.
Well, that's when I was like, he's bad sick.
And then, like, I had this gas, like, just constant. I've just been burping and farting like all weekend long, just constant. And it feels like, you know, you got a bubble and you want to get it out. You get it out. You're like, okay, I'm better now. And then just immediately another one. And just, I was going for a walk to try and like get the air moving and everything. It's just burp, fart, burp, fart, burp, fart.
Well, this is nice. You're,
I mean, I could get more graphic if you want. I feel like I'm sparing you the gory details here, but
there was another part that I heard that was very gory.
Why are you even bringing it up?
I don't know what you're referring to.
Well, just on both ends, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what happens.
Simultaneous?
Well, not simultaneous. No,
I was going to say that's a tough place to be. Rock in a hard place.
Yeah,
got to have a trash can and the toilet, or you know.
Again, I apologize if this is gross. Feel free to zone out to overtime.
Everyone's
or whatever.
Been there.
But, like, Seinfeld reference ruined a really nice, no puke streak.
Mm.
At least 2 or 3 years.
What's your longest?
I don't know. I feel like I went a long time before I got to college. And
once I quit drinking.
Once you quit drinking, your throw-up percentage goes way down.
Yeah. I had a run of – it was a solid 6.5-year run.
Congratulations.
And then I stopped at a market somewhere up in La Follette, Jacksboro area, and got a Reuben sandwich. Big mistake. Big.
Was it good?
Going down.
Yeah. So – unpopular opinions. I took some heat for this. I think a lot of people agreed as well. The Kentucky announcers on the SEC Network Plus. So this happens, right? You go to – we've got our own guys who do our games here. It's,
who are ours?
Andy Brock.
Andy Brock
is one of them.
And Cody Hahn.
Yeah.
Do a lot of it, right?
Yeah, Cody Hahn.
I don't feel like our guys go full homer like these guys do.
Oh. Well, that's what homers do to you. You're watching and you think our guys aren't. Yes, they are. Have you listened to Burt Borough-Kemp? Have you listened to Pat Ryan?
Money.
To Tim Priest?
I'm going to give you. You need to be careful.
I'm going to give you 2 seconds to acknowledge the truth.
You need to be careful.
I'm talking about the great Burt Borough-Kemp. I'm going to tell you the truth.
They have their Larry Munsonisms about them.
I actually liked these guys. I don't what they didn't realize that Kaptears had moved to center field. I was like, would you expect our guys to know that about the other team when they come in and you don't know? We just played them 3 games. Can you name me a single player on Kentucky?
No.
Okay.
Petrie.
So, like, we don't know.
Burks is a catcher. They had no the kid from Farragut's a pitcher.
We don't know all the players on every on the other team. We know our players. We get upset when you don't know everything about our team. You don't know that Tony made a double switch last inning and now Tears is playing center field. I don't get upset about that. I actually like these guys because you could tell the other guy, the color commentator, was a former big leaguer. So,
yeah.
Like, he knew baseball and he was telling stories about it. And you know, they're breaking down pitch counts and stuff like that. That has not always been the case in these series. We've had a couple of these announcers through the year that is like, dude, have you ever watched baseball before? Like, is this even something you do regularly?
Oh, yeah, I'll agree with you.
The guys at Auburn were particularly bad.
The only thing I will say about the whole kerfluffle with Tears and Inslee is, like, you know, I may not know their names, but I would notice that.
Well, they did. I mean, that, it was funny when they realized, wait a minute, that's not a white guy in center field anymore. Like, you could hear the wheels turning. There, wait a minute, that's not Inslee.
The only similarities they have is they're both really fast and both have mustaches.
So, I don't know. I saw a lot of Tennessee fans hating on the Kentucky announcers. You didn't like them, Chris?
I thought they were fine. They were just,
you know, Chris.
It was kind of, no, I didn't go at him or anything, but, like, you know, Simo hits his third bomb. It's just, oh no,
that was funny.
Oh no,
but so yeah, I like, that was funny.
At that point, I was like, okay, they're not going to get excited. At least give me something. And that was pretty good.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
And the other guy's just like, yep, he did it again.
It's hard when you're in that position, and I've never done it, but I have been in positions where you have to be a little more impartial than you might normally be. And, like, so for those guys, I think it's – I don't know what the SEC Network tells these folks, but I think it's understood –
I would guess not much.
Yeah, I think it's understood that, especially older broadcasters like that, you want to be impartial when you're on the broadcast. But it's like, you played at Kentucky. Okay, we get it. You're Kentucky guys. Sure. And all that stuff. So I thought that they did do a pretty good job of, like, they were very
– Were they even at the game?
They clearly enjoyed talking to Vitello in their one-on-one conversations, and I thought they were very praiseful of Simo, Burke, and Drew Beam on Saturday.
Mm-hmm,
I thought And that's hard to do sometimes when you want to win. But, yeah, oh, no, was a good one.
It was great.
You notice we've kind of toned it down this year?
Oh, yeah. We
toned it down last year. We toned it down this year from last year, but it's all response to 2022.
That's what makes it funny. Everybody else is getting in trouble and getting warned and all this stuff, and we're just like, yeah, sorry. They're doing that because of us, but we don't do that stuff anymore. Straight-laced.
Act like we've been there.
Well, and now we have. That's a good point. Yeah, like, we're not the up-and-coming program anymore. Like, we should expect to
the
host regionals.
The most egregious trash talking moment I saw this weekend was the Kentucky hitter who got hit on the leg and then just, like, posed.
That was the only one I saw
for a minute, and I'm like, what is this guy doing?
What was he posing for?
Like, the bench.
He was, like, reacting to his bench or something. And Stark, I couldn't tell if Stark was yelling at him for posing or was yelling at the umpire because he thought the ball didn't hit the player,
which it clearly did.
Yeah. But sometimes you can't tell that, I guess, in the heat of battle. But, yeah, that to me, that was the only time where it got even remotely chippy.
Simo was around in third. I really think he said, so it may not have been much.
It didn't look like he said anything. It looked like he was just staring down, like,
moving,
remember me, boys?
Yeah. I thought it was just a look of, like, the famous, like, you hang them, I bang them. You keep throwing them up there, I'm going to keep hitting them out. What do you want to make?
The announcer said it. If you keep throwing him waist high, he kept saying Christian Moore likes – he's sitting on pitches that are high in the zone. He kept throwing those fat ones right down the middle.
Meatballs.
It's just like batting practice, dude.
I mean –
What was the deal? I thought that park was supposed to be hard to get out of, and they were bashing this weekend.
You had some wind.
Yeah, you did have some wind.
To the right side yesterday, but I don't know. Outside of that, I don't recall a whole lot of wind.
Who was the kid? One of their kids hit like two or three, like center field, the hardest part.
Yeah, Burks, I think.
That leadoff hitter they had was kept on cranking him.
He was good.
Yeah. We might see them again in Hoover. You never know. So. It was, I thought, a pretty evenly matched series. They probably got, I don't know, pretty evenly matched teams. I just think our one and two hitters were a little bit better than their main hitters. And other than that, it was pretty – Amick didn't really do much this weekend. We have not mentioned Dylan Dreiling today.
Yeah, he had two home runs in one game.
What a series he had.
So he's putting together a solid year.
That's
right
kind of tough for him when – I mean, he had a great weekend, but Simo just steals the show.
I feel like we're getting gypped out of another Dreiling year. It still irritates me that this is it for him. He's a
you softened your stance on Hunter Ensley yet?
I don't know that I had a.
You wanted him out of the lineup.
I don't want him out of the lineup. I thought that he might be the odd man out. You know, I know he had the home run Friday night, but I don't know. I don't want to rip on him because he plays a very solid center field. It's obvious he's a team leader. He's there. You know, he's at the bottom of the order for a reason.
Well,
and we pinch hit for him yesterday, right?
Yeah, that's who Peoples came in for.
I mean, there's a reason we pinch hit for him in that situation.
Yeah, Bear.
I mean, I like Ensley, but I just wonder because we gotten so spoiled so quickly with this baseball program mm-hmm. that even ranked number three, coming off a series where we took 2 of 3 on the road at the team with the best record in the league, there's still that part of me that's looking at it like, all right, but is this good enough for Omaha? Is this good enough to get it done? And I was just already projecting all the way down the road. Mm. At the bottom of our order is going to be a problem in Omaha. But everybody, once you get to that point, I mean, think about what I just said in Omaha. Like, at that point, the season is a rousing success.
Yeah, yeah.
But since we've been there a couple of times here lately, it's almost like we don't have anything to compare it to basketball, but it's like going to multiple Final Fours and, oh, I'm tired of this. I want to win it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Just feels like, I don't know. I don't want to say like flirting with disaster a little bit, but, you know, like it just takes one bad night at the plate.
Yeah, but we're never really out of a game.
No, I said that earlier. I was like,
that feels like a couple of years ago.
A couple of weeks in, it's like, I mean, they're going to lose some games, but there's never going to be a point in any game where I'm like, yeah, well, there's no chance we can come back in this one.
Well, and it's like we talked about, I think, earlier in hour number one. DH is still a question mark. Usually by this time, like, roles are starting to settle in here, and who's going to be the DH in the postseason? I don't know. I think that Cannon Peebles getting that RBI, the sack fly, mm-hmm. when he pinch hit for Ensley, was potentially a big moment. Just like Phillips getting that save, potentially a big moment. What do they do with that now? Because if Cannon Peebles can become the player we thought he was going to be when we got him as a freshman All-American transfer out of NC State last summer, that changes the complexion of this team. All of a sudden, you've got a guy down there at the bottom of the order. Because I don't know about you guys. I'm thinking, okay, this guy's going to come in. He's going to hit around 300. He's going to hit double-digit home runs. Like, I'm kind of thinking he's going to be in the 3-4-5 area of the mm-hmm. lineup. Mm-hmm. And not only is he not that, he's not playing. I was surprised to see Cal Stark start all three games. I thought at some point Cam Peebles would get a start. Now, maybe he takes that sack fly yesterday and builds on that. Like to see him get a start tomorrow. But
yeah,
just get some hits, man. Get going. There's still plenty of time for his bat to wake up. And, you know, we're talking about the DH spot. I mean, there's time for him to over – it's not like Stark is tearing it up so much at the plate that he can't be overtaken. The best thing that could happen – possibly for Tennessee, this back half of the season would be for Peebles to start hitting so well that Tony has to play him. That catcher, and we have you know, that changes the complexion of things dramatically.
I think that, you know, I think the reason he started all three is we were playing a team that loves playing small ball, a lot of bunts, and say what you want about Cal Stark offensively. Defensively, he is a lot better than Peebles. There's a noticeable difference.
I don't disagree with that. And he had come off a really good weekend, so I think it just made sense.
And the pitchers, I think Frank likes him back there. It keeps, you know, the pitchers seem more comfortable with him. He can get after. I'll tell you, Cannell, I don't think he makes that one play on that one bunt late in the game yesterday if he's in the same shape he was in last year. He couldn't have moved that fast. And I'm not trying to knock him, but him getting in really good shape this offseason.
The Drive, 105.7 FM.
Final segment of The Drive, this Earth Day edition of the show. Hopefully, this one will not end as abruptly as the last one.
Shut up.
Countdown to death is merciless.
We just want to save some trees. Anyone?
Clowns.
Anyone?
I don't get the reference.
We just want to save some freaking trees.
Still don't get it.
Nope.
Biodome.
Wow. Old school Pauly Shore reference on the show. Okay.
It's a good one.
Was that his second one? When did his career go south?
He had...
Encino Man was the first one, right?
Yeah, he had Encino Man, the son-in-law. He had a bunch of bangers, and then he kind of...
Was it Jury Duty? Was that where it started to go south?
Yeah, Biodome was actually... No, that bombed. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Biodome bombed?
Biodome bombed.
Yeah, I thought
it's one of his. I think it's one of the greatest motion pictures ever made.
I can't remember anything about it. Our son-in-law is pretty good.
Purple Thunder, blank.
Don't wheeze the juice.
Oh, have you seen the girl that was in the son-in-law?
Mm-mm.
I think Carla Guglioni.
Yeah, she was.
She's in that Showtime show Roadie.
She was also prominently featured in. Oh, man, what?
She was in that movie with The Rock. Yeah, and she was in the movie with The Rock about when the big earthquake in LA.
Mm-hmm.
Encino Man's son-in-law in the Army now. Did you ever see that one? Yeah. A goofy movie, of course. Jury Duty, I thought was pretty good.
Look, listen here. People try too hard. People try too hard. A Pauly Shore movie's like pizza. Even when it's bad.
Still pretty good.
It's still pretty damn good. Biodome is an absolute masterpiece.
It's so bad. All that stuff is so dumb.
Who was it? Was it Stephen Baldwin? That was one of the Baldwins.
Yeah, well, I can't remember. I never can remember which one it was.
I just remember Jury Duty. I actually thought was pretty good because it came after post OJ, and so everybody was like faux legal experts. We all kind of knew a little bit about the legal process and the whole plot, because Tucker, and I'm imagining more than half the audience, is like, what are these guys talking about? The plot of Jury Duty with Pauly Shore is he gets on this murder trial for this psycho killer who's obviously guilty, slam dunk case. But because of the high profile nature of the case, they're being sequestered at a really nice local hotel. And so Pauly Shore, lazy stoner character, doesn't want to go back to his regular life. So he's the one guy, like in 12 Angry Men. That's another classic you need to see if you haven't seen
it. I have seen that, actually. Right. Watched that my sophomore year of high school for a class.
I'm not gonna take it anymore.
He's the holdout at the end. Everybody, it's like 11-1. And Paulie's like, I want to see some more evidence. Can we bring this guy back on the stand for days? Which sounds stupid, but it was actually pretty funny.
Oh, that was a great movie.
Who was the... Was it Tia Carrera?
Yeah,
she was.
Yeah,
in that,
was,
right?
yeah. Oh, yes.
I mean, Wayne's World. Come on.
Voice of an Angel.
Cassandra. So, as we wrap up another stellar edition here, I'm going to take some more phone calls before we get out. 865-281?
Well, like, you think she's all that, but then you just completely crap all over.
288-3131.
My gal from Ted Lasso.
You're comparing Tia Carrera in her prime to some 55-year-old broad? Just stop.
Which is timeless beauty. Just Hannah Waddingham.
Is it any coincidence that your rattle sounded like an old cat on its deathbed?
It was not your best. Yeah,
a death rattle. Are you okay? Do we need to put Mr. Pussycat out of his misery? Take him to the doctor?
That's more like it. Tiger roar.
Yeah, just try and get us out on time here, buddy.
Let's
get Roberto in here next. What's up, Roberto? You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
You guys just took me back to high school, and I loved every second of it. I saw every one of those movies. I was sitting here in my car going, "In the Army Now is the other one, guys," just like yelling it into the phone. I love Pauly Shore movies. By the way, how about the slightly above cameo supporting role of Tiffany Amber Thiessen in
Son-in-Law?
Son-in-Law.
Yes. Oh,
Kelly Kapow-Pow-Pow-Pow-Pow-Ski. You know what I'm saying?
Easy. Roberto came
Easy
in hot.
Tiger. Yeah. Calm down, Beavis.
I don't know if you guys have ever noticed Mrs. Roberto has a strange resemblance to Kelly Kapowski. It's a real thing. And now I know why as I say that. Guys, Cannon Peebles, if you took away Cal Stark's on-base percentage, him and Cannon Peebles still have almost the exact same OPS. That's why he starts. Cannon Peebles' OPS is under 650. That's unacceptable.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, he's not having the season, the production that we thought he would when we got him.
Right. I'm hoping – I kind of hope what you're hoping, but I don't think it's going to happen, Russ. I don't. And here's the drop-off that we're talking about at the bottom of the lineup. Villeneuve has disappeared. That's the problem.
Yeah, we didn't even see him this weekend.
Mm-mm. He's disappeared. Some people claim he's hurt, and maybe that's what it is. He has stunk out loud for 3 weeks.
Yeah, he does that whole thing where he just takes strike three looking. He will never swing at it. He did that at Auburn, and he had, I think, done that the week before, too. So, not good.
Mm-hmm.
Can't just stand there with your lumber on your shoulder. You got to swing it.
No. And, I mean, Dalton Bargo, you know, I think he got dinged a little bit when he was playing third. And he was playing a good third while Amick was out. And he's disappeared this weekend, and he can't hit the broadside of a barn right now. But that's just it, guys. We just rattled off three guys right there who can be your DH. And Rhys Chapman's our DH right now. Those four guys are all extremely capable DHs, and we're pretty much a DH for any team in the conference.
Can we get them peaking at the right time?
I think so. I'm interested to see the A.J. Russell development. If he comes back and he can pitch as a starter, that's a huge win. If he can come back and just give us innings, that's going to be a big win. And at the end of the day, as far as this team's concerned, I'm really proud of the win. It was a great win, great series win. You beat a really capable Kentucky team. Hats off to Kentucky. They're actually better than I thought they were, frankly. Thought they were just pumped up by their schedule. Turns out they're just really good. That Waldschmidt guy has a very punchable mustache. Yeah. Cannot stand that guy. Their antics are very middle school girls softball team. The chants were just completely outrageous and stupid. As a guy who is for outrageous dugout behavior, chanting like a middle school girls softball team is not one of the things that will ever happen on my middle school girls softball team I coach, because it's ridiculous. And lastly, guys, I really, really, really believe this team has the horses to do what LSU did last year. LSU had one starter last year as a pitcher, one. And they had about five capable guys out of the bullpen that you could string together, and they would just hit the hell out of the baseball. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to go win a College World Series this year. Tony's making chicken salad out of you know what, and I'm loving it, guys. Also, did the Council of Elders vote yet, Russ, on my tweet from earlier today?
Yeah, we've combined it. We're going with the Brooklyn Bomber.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. I didn't want to steal the Bronx Bomber thing, so I left that off the list. But thank you for taking it under advisement. We, the fans, really appreciate you guys. Have a great day.
Thank you, Roberto. I appreciate it. They were chanting? The Kentucky dugout was chanting?
Apparently. I never really caught it that much on TV, but no, the people who were at the game were like, it was ridiculous.
I didn't mind the guys. They looked like they were either like New York City firemen, or like if you put tracksuits on them, they look like, you know, they'd be the guys that Tony Soprano would be going to get coffee for him with those mustaches.
Who's the other guy, their cleanup hitter, the switch hitter DH from Stanford, had the full-on Kirby.
Oh, Lopez.
Wax thing.
Yeah,
he's not as – they were – the announcers talked about that, and they were like, he's got a little ways to go to catch up to Kirby Cannell.
He was – I was worried about him coming in because he was the one guy that I kind of knew about was having a great season. I don't think he did that much against us.
Not really.
The guys that were killing us were Walter Schmidt, the shortstop.
Grant Smith.
Yeah. He had a pretty good series, I thought. And then there was one guy yesterday that had a couple of homers that only had two or three coming into the game and went deep a couple of times on us.
I'll tell you somebody we haven't talked about. His contribution this weekend was Blake Burke defensively. Just incredible.
Yeah, no, he had a couple of – amazing picks, really.
Speaking of defensive plays, I know Brad LaFollette will be very happy about this.
Oh, Curly climbing
people,
the ladder?
People are never going to let him live that down. Old Curly has a weak arm. Maybe one of the worst takes. Brad, we love you. One of the worst takes in Drive history. That's really saying something because there have been some doozies through the years. But Dean Curly with a weak arm, every time he makes a play now, people light me up about Brad and LaFollette.
Great thing about Brad LaFollette is he probably doesn't care. He'll just double down.
Curly had a nice double down the line. Was it Saturday?
Yeah, because they started that game with all the doubles and home runs, and they had to yank that pitcher in the first inning.
That was great, man. He didn't get a single out.
See, and that was their ace, right? Their Saturday night guy that we shelled in the top of the first. Was that their number one?
I don't think so, but, I mean, he's one of their consistent starters, and he did not record a single out.
He hadn't been lit up like that all year.
Well, it helped when 1-2 just decided to put it over the fence.
Well, the announcers did say that yesterday, that the Kentucky staff hadn't been touched up like this all year. So, they kept talking about how they came back against – who was it? Morehouse State or something?
Yeah, there was another one. They was it? Was it LSU? They're like, oh, down 7-0 against LSU and came back to win. And
they were a little bit different animal than that team.
It's like, first of all, LSU stinks, and yeah, forgive me for not being impressed by what you did against Morehouse.
Tennessee leading the nation in slugging percentage by a fairly wide margin, slugging .659.
What's our home run total now? We're first in that, too, and I'm sure we grew the lead.
It's over 100, 111, up 10 on Georgia. Folks, that's going to do it. Thank you, Bear. Thank you, Tucker. Thank you, Houston. Overtime coming up next. We'll do it again tomorrow here on Fan Run Radio.